thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Woe Late. Here my boy Ray Jeezy. We're waiting on Will T. What's going on, Ray?
Chilling, babe. I'm good. Kobe White with the hairdo, man. It's time to cut it, bro.
Yeah, Ray is referring to the Washington Wizards. They're playing the Chicago Bulls right now. The Wizards are up by 10 in the second quarter, 54-64. Oh, man, everything's gravy, man. Did you watch Power, man? I want to talk about Power.
Of course. Of course. And we all knew the outcome that Tariq was going to be the shooter.
We all knew it. We knew it, man. I thought it was well done, though. You had to tell a story. I know everybody was like, man, this is typical. You knew this was going to happen. You know what I mean? It's predictable. But at the same time, you got to tell a story. Like, you're trying to make this dude the new ghost, right?
To some degree. It's going to be interesting to see what Power Book 2 looks like, because I'm thinking that the ending where they show Ghost in high school with Angela,
yeah,
that's going to be kind of how Power Book 2 looks, where they go back and to see how he became the person that he was.
Uh-huh.
And also, of course, flashes of what's going on currently,
so you
which
think
is going to include Tariq in school.
So what do you think the main focus will be? Will it be the Ghost as a youth?
Tasha got what she deserved in jail.
Scandalous. Wasn't she like the dirtiest person ever, though?
Scandalous.
Like,
Tariq is dirty in this shit.
Nah, Tasha is. She's scandalous.
Tariq is dirty. But I just feel like, all right, first she killed Keisha and then left her son like parents.
She was dirty to her boyfriend. That was definitely dirty.
Yeah, dinner to her boyfriend. I mean,
she was dirty to her husband. She was smashing Sean. Come on. She was smashing Sean and the lawyer.
The lawyer. That's true. His ghost lawyer.
Yeah.
But Ghost was
come
ghost
on, man.
Terry Silver was ghost lawyer.
Terry Silver.
Yeah. No. The Proctor was ghost lawyer.
Yeah, I mean, he was under Proctor.
He was under Proctor. He came aboard to help him with the trial, man. Nah, Tasha, you got what you deserve, man.
Tasha was good.
When they stripped, you know, when she got in jail, she took off the fake lashes, the wig, the makeup.
What was that about?
That was the cleansing, exposing of who she is. A fraud.
Hey.
You're into it, though.
How you fellas doing, man?
We're good, man. I thought Tariq was kind of dirty, though. I mean, to me, like, dude, you got your sister killed. And then you still felt big and bad. You felt there was no remorse about that. You know
Come
what I mean?
Oh, man, with Kanan, all the stuff he did. He could have got a lot of people killed. He could have got Tommy killed. He could have got his father.
Oh, what he did to Tommy was dirty. Come on now. Like, he set him up for the Italians. Yeah, come on, man.
Tariq is the only one that did not get what he deserved.
That's true.
Drake got what he deserved. Tasha got what she deserved.
So isn't it like the new? I guess that's like the new ghost, right?
Yeah, I mean, just like his father.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Untouchable, right?
I mean, I ain't gonna say he untouchable.
He got touched.
He's very much fortunate.
I know he's like enemy number one. Just don't send any death threats to him, man.
He still got to get a 3.5 to get the benefit.
I know. I thought that was real. So, that was real, ghost. That was real, man. I mean, Will,
what's his name? The dude who hooked him up in college. I forgot his name. Simon Stern.
Yeah.
You know, if they make a deal where, you know, he gets a little bit more, will he make sure that he gets that 3.5?
Oh, yeah.
Well, also, any work. I could totally see Tariq, like, screwing him, like, getting the 3.5, getting the inheritance, and then saying, I ain't giving you the club.
I could totally see him doing that. Yeah, he's not an honorable person at all.
Especially if his mom and you,
yeah,
where she deserves to be.
Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play.
Half smart chicken head.
Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the debut of the XFL.
I'm just seeing that. Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
At 8:20, we'll talk Washington Redskins quarterback Quentin Dunbar requesting for a trade or release. At 8:30, we'll talk about the Washington Wizards' chances of making the playoffs and the possibility of John Wall playing in the postseason. At 8:40, we'll talk about some of the NBA trade deadline moves. Finally, at 8:50, we'll talk about WBC featherweight champ Gary Russell Jr. defeating Tuke Stout Niambayar.
Can you talk, baby? Don't even try.
No, I got it right here. Niambayar.
Just saying, you can make it easy, just like you did the meme machine. Remember, you made it easy for yourself last week.
I'm not going to make it easy today. We're going to work today. But first, the XFL debuted over the weekend. Didn't y'all catch any games? No, it's cool. I mean, it's cool. If you did, you did.
Look at Will T. Will T looked at him.
I know
he hit I looked at him. Like, hopefully Will T did.
I saw the DC defender game.
I saw a couple plays. All right, from a couple plays. That's DC. Fair. I mean, I think it's without a doubt that Cardale Jones is the best
African-American
quarterback from Ohio State in the DC area.
Overweight?
Yeah.
What? I don't even get that.
Oh, you talking about
Dwayne's overweight?
Oh,
he's not definitely. Oh, I mean, he definitely.
Oh,
he only saw a couple plays. So how he gonna
take shots?
How he gonna take shots? Wow. He said he just saw two plays. He just said off of that alone.
It was a joke. Calm down, brother.
I know it's a joke. I'm just saying you talking about shots.
Ron Rivera.
I'm not doing nothing. I ain't doing nothing.
Reinvigorate this dude.
I ain't doing that.
Spiritedly arguing.
No, man. I'm actually happy for my boy Rashad Ross. Man, he got a touchdown. He always makes plays though. He played in the AFL. He made.
This is Rashad Ross. You listen to Urban Sports. Go ahead.
You know it.
Put that thing back on.
You know it. But do you think that what makes this different from like XFL 2.0? I mean 1.0.
There's less hype, mm-hmm. right? Like yeah. you know the it's more on the football, right? Mm-hmm. They focus more on the quality of the product opposed, excuse me, to the promotion and the other over the top theatrics, right?
Mm-hmm.
That the XFL 1.0. Invested in.
Yeah.
Outlaws.
I knew you were going to say the jerseys.
I'll just be interested to see how long this league sticks around this time. Because why do we need another football league
mm-hmm.
aside from the NFL that is a major professional sports league? Why do we need it? That's what I'm trying to figure out. What's the purpose of it? The ratings were high, according to what I read. That wasn't
well.
That much.
They did well.
The ratings were very well. So why do we need that right now? Like, are people not getting enough football? Are they tired? That's why this was the highest rated Super Bowl in the NFL, because people were like, yes, no Tom Brady, no Bill Belichick, no discussion about cheating,
mm-hmm.
no controversial calls, really. This is what we wanted. So now are people just wanting to see more football and less of the same script that the NFL has given us?
I think you have to, if you're the XFL, you have to determine your long-term strategy, right? Is it about this being a potential feeder league into the NFL, yeah. mm-hmm. right? Where, players from the XFL are able to sign in the NFL. But if there's like two-way contracts, if XFL players are able to sign to the NFL and then at the end of the season potentially turn to the XFL to, sharpen their skills yeah. in organized football, or do you want to become a competitor to the NFL, which I don't believe is something that's viable for them?
No, I don't think there is a chance for them to be competitive to a competitor against
the NFL. Excuse me. Let me say this. You can't be a competitor to them because you aren't playing at the same time.
Yeah. Right? But I think the best case scenario is to kind of like work with the NFL. You know what I mean? Like work with them. So you get, like Will said, season's over, kind of find a way that like that bridge, like when you can work together, like you say, we'll help promote your league and vice versa. And, you can give us some players. It's like a developmental tool for the NFL.
I just don't know if football is the most popular game in America anymore. I really don't. At one point, it was baseball, I know, but.
You think it's basketball?
I really do. What? I think basketball is right now the most popular sport in this country. And the NBA is the best global brand in spite of what is taking place with Daryl Morey.
Global brand, but I think football is still the best sport. I mean, the most favorable sport.
The most popular sport.
The most popular sport in the country, because you got college football, which does very well. And then you got the NFL. I mean, it's two brands. I mean, it's two different styles.
Right, football in general.
Yeah, it's football in general.
I understand that.
I'll say this. I think because of the amount of games,
mm-hmm.
basketball isn't as popular because, it requires fans to really pay attention and to the games.
Because the amount of games basketball
Because of the amount of games on a night in, night out basis, mm-hmm. right? Football is one shot deal, one Sunday, 7 hours, and then people are.
Can I argue this real quick?
Yeah, go
and on. Then I want to make sure I don't go too far off topic because we are talking about the XFL.
Yeah.
But. When do you take off? March Madness.
Yeah.
That is like the most popular sporting event outside of the Super Bowl. And again, even more than the college football playoff, which is typically who?
Yeah.
Alabama. In college basketball, you can see a George Mason go to a Final Four.
Yeah.
You can see a Gonzaga rise to prominence, so a smaller school, mm-hmm. and other schools like VCU. But – to me, in college football, you're never going to see like Western Kentucky play for a national championship. You know what I mean?
No,
so I still think that I have an argument there. But the XFL is trying to tap into a market where football needs to continue throughout the course of the year, I believe.
Yeah.
After the NFL, and there needs to be an alternative. Well, right now, some of the rules, like the kickoffs exactly. and things, it is something that is different, and people like to see changes. Mm-hmm. So I will agree from that standpoint. Again, I'm just saying, what is their purpose overall? And that's to give you a different brand of football than what the NFL
and also
runs.
They're playing on the love of football for many people. That's what it is. Like you're just like people like we OD on football. Like many fans OD on football. They like football off season, the NFL draft, free agency. Like people OD off that crap. Like yeah, seriously.
You know what? Again, they're marketing to the general consumer.
Yeah.
But speaking to you specifically, you somebody who covered the Redskins all season, correct?
Yeah.
All 8 home games?
All at home, yeah.
Did you have an opportunity to cover the Defenders this weekend? You sure did. Did you do it? Huh? Hell no. Cause
I was busy.
Exactly.
No, I'm going to be real.
It's not as much of a party.
Darn
as the
right.
XFL.
You're darn
that's
right.
What
that's
so what's the purpose
like
of it?
So
what's
so
the purpose
instance,
of it?
Like, for instance, like,
I covered the G League game.
No, you
game
do.
Saturday.
I'm just talking for me. That was me covering the G League. I would do the same thing to the G League about the NBA. I would.
See, that's messed up.
I'm dirty. I would
see, that's... That's
let,
wrong.
Well, let me ask you
because
this.
I, because my and also I'm well, I'm, it's different for me though. At the same
let
time.
Let me ask you this.
No, what I'm trying to do is like it's different. But go ahead.
Do you know you I'm you
to,
have
trying to go back to church more? That's
you,
all.
You have you have the ability to
make
to
the
cover,
you make
to
the skins games. Yeah, go ahead.
That's because it's going.
Go ahead. Bigger platform. Go ahead.
Yeah. So you have the ability to go to XFL games,
of course he
right?
Did.
Huh?
You have the ability. Okay. All right. If the popularity continues to rise over the next couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
And you know, there's a XFL becomes mainstream and there's a lot of interest.
Yeah.
Would you decide to cover a game?
No, it depends. And I'm be honest with you. It just depends on where I'm at right now. Cause like Ray, it's funny. It's semi true though, but
semi.
It's like no, because I feel like I've already did 8 games, and it's like all right, I need to have that weekend. Like I need that weekend back. You know what I mean? There was games I didn't want to go to be real with you. Like, but I just I tried. My mindset was like I need to be on the grind. I need to be on the grind. Now it's like all right, I'm going to pull back a little bit and do some other stuff.
It's just sporting. Your sports, but reporting buddies aren't there.
Huh?
They're
there.
Okay.
No. People still cover it.
They do.
That's
real
true.
Talk. Real
I mean,
talk,
people cover
there.
The arena team too. I'm just saying, but
I know he's.
It's just speaking to the relevance of the NFL as compared to the XFL. Now, again, it also comes down to personal taste, and that's just his thing. Because I cover the G League.
Yeah.
And it's cool. I mean, it's only like 100 people at some games or less. But I'm not going for that reason. It's because basketball, there are still professional basketball players who start in college who are in the G League.
You can only get the real.
And it's amazing how guys like Aubrey Dawkins. Remember when Duke played UCF?
Mm-hmm.
And he starred in that tournament, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he just played for the Erie BayHawks on Saturday against Admiral Schofield, who starred for Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And there's hardly nobody there to see it.
Tough.
But you put these two dudes in college. No, put them in college. I'm just saying, put them back in college.
Oh, they showcase.
And the stadium's full because people want to see their schools.
Wait, only in March Madness, though. March Madness.
I'm just saying, No, Tennessee is one of them schools that is just.
No, you're right. I thought you meant by you.
I'm just saying in general.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on what market they're going to tap into. Are they going to be able to keep people interested? We'll see. Time will tell, but you know.
No, it's just crazy. Like, I remember, like, point when. Like what 1.0 whatever, and like the initial week was crazy, right? It was like popular the initial week, right? Like jerseys,
the popularity,
right. Yeah, it was good. All right, then.
Well,
week,
this
right?
time they did better. Like Will T said, focus on football. The last time I was like, he hate me, and they didn't have regular names on the jerseys. It looked like you was watching the Little Giants versus the Little Cowboys. Dude. They had like ragtag.
You ain't like the name. You ain't like that. You ain't like the little nicknames on the jerseys though. You ain't like that.
No.
I kind of liked that. I wish they did bring
it. I mean, it was fun at the moment.
Yeah, at the moment, right?
You know, it's,
it was gimmicky.
It was a gimmick. Exactly. It was a gimmick.
Yeah,
it had the WWE script feel to it.
Yeah, I will say, like, the whole, like, 9 points, you need, like, 9 points on a, you know, on a scoring drive. I think that's gimmicky.
No, I think that's
a little bit
I think
too much.
I think that starts to bring strategy into
you like,
the
so
game.
You're a fan of that? I'm not a fan. You like your fan of that?
I think it's something. I think it's interesting. From you know, from,
so you like
from
not have extra points. I feel like
yeah. I mean, extra points are look. There's a reason why NFL teams voted as a league to move back to extra point because it became too out automatic. Now, where you can get 1, 2, or 3 points, there has to be some thought. There has to be some strategy into it, right? It's not just the automatic thing to do.
You right? You like everything
again,
about the rules?
I'm okay with that because, again, you're trying to distinguish yourself from the National Football League. So it's okay, but me personally, it does not interest me. It just doesn't.
You said the whole XFL or just...
The whole XFL. Gotcha. I have no interest in it because, again, what I feel like they're doing is they're trying to compete with the NFL when right now they just can't. You know, if you're going to be a new league or you're going to be a professional, you know, sports league, I think you got to, you kind of stand alone. You know, there has to be something that appeals to the consumer that's not trying to be something else, if that makes sense. Like our show, we don't want to tailor it after PTI or this. We don't want to become a debate show. No, I don't want to be like, oh, we're going to turn this into, we're going to have 10 topics and it's going to be me versus you on this crap. No, we're going to be ourselves, right?
Yeah.
That's what makes us who we are. So the XFL, for the most part, trying to, again, compete, trying to be on major television, all this stuff, I just
trying
think...
Trying to be like Kevin Sheehan,
I need to say it. I was waiting for it. Just waiting for it. I was waiting for it. As soon as you said that, PT, I was waiting for this dude to come out with that name drop. Hey, so does this... how's it?
Like, can I ask y'all this?
Go ahead,
you buy tickets to XFL, either one of you guys?
No. I would. It's cheap.
No.
I just don't have any interest.
I don't have any interest.
I would. Actually, at my job, we were all talking about, you know, going to a game.
Talking about it.
Yeah, talking. So it's out there.
But then again,
the possibilities out there.
But then again, I'm not the dude that's going to buy a ticket to a NFL game either, because just to sit out there in the cold and watch football, when I can sit in the house.
We can have my man Richard Miles on. He's the founder of the Modern Football League. He's been around 25 years. You know that I'm a little biased, but. His league has been sustainable, and he hasn't tried to be like the NFL. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, it's interesting when you try to mimic something, or you try to mirror something. It doesn't work. I really believe that. Which is why Ice Cube came out the Big Three, and it was a hit. Why?
It's different.
He didn't try to make it like the NBA.
But that's organic. That's like organic in terms of being a basketball player, 3-on-3, you know, 2-on-2, 1-on-1, you know, something like that. That's what the NBA. I know this, we're going off topic. That's why I think the NBA All Star Game should have like a King of the Hill type thing. I think that thing would be hot, like King of the Hill 1-on-1, like knockout.
It could be interesting.
I think it could be like that. I think folks would be scared though. Dame said, and I agree with him. I think folks would be scared though.
Absolutely.
I think their reputation would be on blast.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've had guys who have been tremendous dunkers, athletes who don't participate in the slam dunk contest.
Mm-hmm. No,
you don't want to do any damage to your brand.
Yeah, brand, yeah.
No. XFL stays around how long?
Three years. Three seasons. I think 3 seasons.
The other one lasts like a year, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm with three. I think 3 seasons is about right. The AFL went down like quick, again, 1 season. So, yeah, 3 years is about, you know, Vince got some money.
Sounds good.
Yeah. All right, Redskins cornerback Quentin Dunbar wants out. We'll discuss this after the break. Listen to Urban Sports Saints.
For ages.
You dig? Cute. Listening to the Urban Sports Scene, myself, Wole, Will T, Ray Jeezy. It is reported that Redskins cornerback Quentin Dunbar has asked for a trade or his release. He wants a long-term extension, and it seems that the new regime ain't feeling it. Should this regime give Quentin Dunbar a extension?
Well, that's a hard question, right? Because what does Jack Del Rio and Ron Rivera want to do from a defensive standpoint, and does Quentin Dunbar fit into their scheme, mm-hmm. right? So that's one part of it. Two is, look, you've had a defense that has underperformed for years upon years, and Quentin Dunbar was a part of that unit. I wouldn't be, you know, what I'm not going to say I wouldn't be, but what would be the rush if you're a new regime coming in to give a guy who you know, who you don't know will perform or won't perform in your scheme, an extension?
It's the same issue that, you know, the Skins have with Jordan Reed, right? Availability. You know what I mean? You can look good. You can rate grade well, you know, on all the Pro Football Plus stuff, like, or whatnot. But at the end of the day, you need to be available on the field. So, to me, you know, regardless of whatever, you got to prove that you can play a 16 game, you know, on the majority part of the season. If you can't do that, then, you know, you really don't have any clout or any pull to say you can get an extension. So if I'm the regime, I'm looking at this situation like, hey, dude, like, I'm looking at your track record. You haven't played a whole season yet. So you look good. You looked the part, but you have to put a full season, because in football, in any sport, right, availability, accountability is important. So if you want to get that bag, you got to be available. And if you're not available, then shoot, you're wasting money.
My opinion is just bad timing.
Yeah.
With the turnover in the organization right now, it's the wrong time to say, hey, I need a new contract. No. Right now, you need to come out like you're saying, and you need to prove yourself.
Yeah.
You need to just play hard. Let's say you're having a spectacular season through 8 games. You can then start to discuss.
They're gonna talk.
Hey,
yeah.
can we work on an extension?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to secure his money, because we know the nature of the National Football League. Yeah, nothing's really guaranteed. You could be out of the football, National Football League tomorrow.
Yeah.
So he's trying to set himself up for the future, and that's great. However, again, it's all based on timing. Now, if let's say the Redskins would have went 9-7, Bruce is still around, you still have, you know, Jay in place.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
he would get his money.
He would
have got his money if Jay was still.
It would have been an appropriate time to ask. But at this point, I think he needs to understand that. However, he also understands that they'll probably be more open to dealing him based on the fact that they're not loyal to him.
Yeah,
they're looking to get their own talent in there, and they're looking to, you know, make acquisitions in free agency and, of course, in the draft. So, I think he'll be moved, to be honest.
On our Facebook page, George, he posted he is the corner we've got, and now he wants out. And it's not like we have depth at the position, and I believe we all assume Norman is out of here. that's true. He should be out of here.
I got another philosophy too.
Why would we
actually? No,
Norman's
no one. That's a good point. Like, I ask now, so if Dunbar wants to, you know, get traded or released, I think Norman.
I mean, regardless, let's take Dunbar wanting to leave out of the equation.
Norman,
what makes you think that Josh Norman wouldn't be here?
I think the Rivera Norman reunion would actually be a positive.
I think it would be
Josh
okay,
Norman.
But I think that there are like Norman's not the same Norman that was in Carolina.
He's not. But if you're Ron Rivera, you were trying to establish your culture,
mm-hmm.
what better way to help establish your culture than have a veteran who's respected in the locker room, who may have lost a step.
Respected in the locker room, that's a whole different. I'm not going to say that much.
Well, okay, all right. Some people may deem as a leader.
I like Josh. I like Josh.
Well, I don't know if he's look. You're the media. I don't go into the locker room.
I like Josh. I like Josh. I'm just saying that.
What better way to get your?
It's that cap hit too.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the last year of his contract.
Yeah, it's still a cap hit. They're it's that cap hit.
Okay.
To be real with you, it's the cap hit more than
anything. Who is Quentin Dunbar's best friend, as far as we know?
His best friend on the team?
No, not on the team. In general.
Oh, I don't know.
Bashaw Breland. When we had Breland on the show, what did he say?
Talk about him.
He said me and Dunbar.
Yeah,
he said me and Quentin Dunbar became bros during our time.
They were.
He just watched Bashaw Breland win a Super Bowl. He watched another former Redskin corner win a Super Bowl.
Kendall
Fuller, right?
Yeah.
He wants out. He wants change. He wants a new opportunity.
I'm gonna tell you why he wants out, though. Do you know why he wants out?
Go ahead.
All right. So it's basically the regime. So what it is that he wants an extension. He was promised. They were working on it with Allen and JJ. They were working on it. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The new regime is like, nah. Basically, nah. Like, you got to prove it.
Right.
And he's like, all right, well, if you don't know me, obviously you don't know me, you're not comfortable with me, then trade me or release me.
Well, I think that's okay, too, because, again, you're getting a fresh start. I would go ahead and trade him. Like I said, Trent.
Yeah.
Let him go. Norman is different because Norman.
Trayman stay now.
They're
talking now.
I know. Ron Rivera's been saying that he was all over the gag on TV during Super Bowl week.
I know.
But you also have again the Norman factor, which I think is different because to me.
No, I agree.
Because of his history with Rivera. However, I would be totally okay if you say I'm not being loyal to him either. It's time for a change around here.
For who? With who?
Just the whole organization. It's time for a change. Let's wipe the slate clean. Yeah. You know, Haskins is new. Yeah. Obviously, he's going to be the face of your franchise. You have a good veteran in Alex Smith. I think that's perfect for him. And also, he's looking to prove something. Alex Smith is. Yeah. So, to me, yes. A change in personnel, a drastic change in personnel, a complete turnover is cool.
Yeah. No, my thing about, you know, Dunbar, and I get it because, you know, he was underpaid, you know, in terms of his production, like on the field, not availability, in terms of the skill level. He was lowballed in terms of what he
definitely
what he deserved.
They used him.
Yeah.
They used him.
Yeah, but at the same time, but this is a new regime. And this team is they're doing things totally different. Like, why not earn it? Now, that 1 year, show them that you could play a full season, and I'm sure they'll reward you. But, you know, I mean, we're not sure of anything.
But you're taking a risk. That's what I'm saying. He's still taking a risk.
It's a risk.
So that's why I understand where he's coming.
Absolutely.
We all do.
Yeah, I get both sides.
Now, but if you had to lean one way, you got to lean toward the new regime because, again, this is what they're brought in to do.
Yeah.
They're not coming in to make promises to nobody. They're like, we're coming in to make a complete overhaul of this organization and to start winning. And so far, you have been part of the old culture. We're trying to create a new one.
Nikki Carter on Facebook posted, nope, not yet. He should prove that he can stay healthy this season and excel in the new system with the new coaching staff. If he wants to leave, try to get a pick for that and let him roll out.
To me, the health does not matter as much depending on your talent. For example, if you know you have like a Darren McFadden on your team when he was coming out of Arkansas. You knew he was injury prone, but he was so talented. You had to have him.
If you're super talented,
Saquon Barkley, you know he's going to get hurt, but you got to have him.
Yeah.
Quinn Dunbar, he might be hurt. Do you have to have him?
But I mean, it's like.
Now, has he played well? Of course.
To me,
he exceeded expectations.
Yeah, I agree.
But at the same time, he's Quinn Dunbar.
It's like, unfortunately. It's the truth. Like what you're saying is the truth. It's like, all right, for instance, you knew Jordan Reed was injury prone, but. That's one season where he was one of the better tight ends in football. You had to pay him.
Exactly.
But you knew he was injury prone.
Yeah, of course.
So talent there you go. Sometimes
that's a
excels.
Perfect example on your own team.
Yeah.
Perfect example.
Talent excels that. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. All right. Could the Wizards make the playoffs? We'll discuss this horrible possibility after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Team.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Sounds about to cuss. I got loyalty, got royalty. Peace, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, is born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine, and it's like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy, and Will T. The Washington Wizards currently moved up to the ninth spot in the NBA Eastern Conference with an 18-33 record. Pathetic. They are currently two games in the loss column behind the 8th seed Orlando Magic. Could we possibly see the Wizards in the postseason? It's a possibility. It's been a possibility.
Anything's possible.
But
what the heck?
Realistically, no. I don't think this team has enough talent compared to the Orlando Magic. I think the Orlando Magic have
more talent. They do
have better
Orlando.
Talent.
They do. Yeah, they do. I agree. They do have more talent.
It's not about that. It's about can Orlando defeat the teams that are in front of them. That's all that matters. They already swept the Wizards, so they're not going to play them anymore. So it has no bearing over who has a more talented team. It's a matter of can the Wizards win more games down the stretch? with their schedule in comparison to Orlando's. And I'm saying they can. The problem is, and we've been bringing this up for a while, my man Coach Jim Helmer said the same thing. Why get the AC just to get swept by the Bucks in the first round? Why don't you get yourself a decent draft pick? However, my argument to that is this draft don't really have a whole lot.
I mean, you know, it doesn't have a whole lot, but who's to say that?
Other than Cuz, right, from Memphis, right?
Who?
Wiseman.
No, but who's to say? Who's
I like Cole Anthony, so you already know.
I like Tyrese Halliburton, to be honest.
I think Cole, go ahead.
I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't watched a whole lot of college basketball. I've watched the Hoyas and I've watched Carolina. Oh,
sorry, brother.
Yeah, I know.
I watched the two states, right?
No, but to me, I think there's always upside to giving yourself a lottery pick, because then it comes down to, as a organization, how do you evaluate the talent, right? I'm not saying that they're, you know, you're going to hit every time on a first round pick or even a lottery pick, but do you have the infrastructure in place to properly assess the talent and make sure that if you bring said talent into your organization, you can maximize his potential?
Listen, if you look at mock drafts, right? If the Wizards do not make the playoffs, Cole Anthony is projected to be drafted by the Wizards, right? Now, this is obviously based on a lottery. Now, of course, why would you get Cole Anthony?
No, mess up.
However, if you look at additional mock drafts, you got RJ Hampton as a possibility. Now, that makes sense, because if you have a strong point guard in Wall, you have obviously Bill at the two, and in your front court you have Rui, right?
Yeah.
And you have Thomas Bryant. You need a strong wing. RJ Hampton could be that guy.
I ain't gonna lie though. I know you got John. You know I'm a John Wall supporter, but dang, you get Cole Anthony. You got a chance to get Cole Anthony.
Oh, that's why in that mock draft you can't pass up on it. However, I am the Wizards again, and Cole Anthony is there, and Tyrese Halliburton is there, I'm going with Halliburton because I know he's a pass first point guard. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you need another scoring point guard on your team. I really don't. Especially to me, with Ish proving himself so strongly off the bench.
So what do you do with John Wall? Then you just trade him.
Ish proving himself.
Oh, Ish has been balling, bro.
You haven't watched the Wizards either.
I have been watching the Wizards.
Ish been balling. I ain't going to lie to you. But Ish got a 3-ball, too, now. Ish been balling.
It doesn't turn the ball over. His ball handling has been off the charts. He finds the open man. I mean, IT is the only thing that's held him back this year.
Real talk.
And now that's over with.
He has, though.
And you can see a difference. Look at the score right now. IT's on the roster. He's shooting ill-advised threes right now, though. Anyway. I'm telling you, no, you don't trade John. If you get Tyrese Halliburton, he's coming off the bench, but he's still your point guard of the future to me.
Yeah.
And like I said, he's passed first because it looks like Bill is in his prime now. Obviously,
he's in his prime.
He's in his prime
without getting like empty stats. So that's what I call him.
No.
I'm having this discussion with you.
He's a flat out scorer.
He's a scorer, man. But they don't give you W's though. It's like my man Booker, who I do. Like I like Booker's game, but it is what it is.
So, but you like what Dame's doing,
huh?
And Dame's
they starting to win now. When Dame start, they starting to win on that streak though. Dame is starting to win on that streak.
They're still not even in the top eight in the West.
No, I'm saying that streak, which you're referring to. He's been winning. He's been winning when he's been going.
But to me, the Wizards have been better. As of late, in my opinion, because really they blew against John Morant and the Dagger Grizzlies. They blew that. They would have been on a nice 3-game winning streak, which they haven't had all season.
Rookie of the year, John Morant.
Absolutely,
dude's a beast, man.
Absolutely, but I'm just saying they blew that. They lost. They lost a double-digit lead.
They always do that. They always blowing big leads.
But that's what I'm saying. The potential is there. Mm-hmm. If moving forward, again. My opinion, you can still draft a point guard, but what's the biggest need? A nice wing player, a really good wing player, a legit, real RJ Hampton could be that guy. Also, I know your brother at least don't like him, but Cassius Stanley could be that guy too. Somebody who can dunk. He's 6'7". He can make an open jump shot.
I didn't say anything.
All right, so the Wizards make the postseason. Should John Wall play if they make the postseason?
Of course not. Just get your body right.
You don't want to see
To me, he's doing too much. Do you see KD on the court dunking right now? And they had the same injury.
I'm with you. He's doing way too much right now.
I honestly think when you watch, he's always on the sideline, which I love that. Mm-hmm. However, if you watch his body language in most games, he's supportive until Brad passed him. If you watched him that game, he didn't look happy that Brad passed him on a Wizards all-time scoring list.
Oh, Brad passed him? He's not a scorer. Like, John Wall's not a real scorer.
No, but John Wall had the look on his face like, I'm not even here to kind of keep you know, my numbers ahead of his. Oh. And like, he looked like it's not fair. That's the face that I read when I looked at his body language.
To me, he's not even like, he's not even, I wouldn't even think of him.
Which means he's not a scorer. He is a scorer.
I mean, he scores, but he's a more of a pass first point guard than scorer.
He's a complete point guard, yeah. Yes. But he's still a 2010 guy.
No, he's a 2010, but Bill is a scorer. Like, that's what he does.
Bill is a volume scorer, yeah, but again, he doesn't have a whole lot to work with this season outside of Rui. You know what I mean?
He's
got Ish Smith.
Yeah, Ish Smith.
Wagner. Oh yeah, Wagner. He's got Bertans. He's got some shooters around him. I'm just saying he's going to take the majority of the shots. You see his shooting percentage this year. Obviously, it's dropped because he shoots so many shots. But to me, he doesn't have to. The few games he was hurt, they shared the ball much more. And Ish Smith, tell the truth, he shined those games.
Ish Smith balls. I don't know what he's talking about. He ball like dude goes ham. Are you serious? You really don't. You don't think
Garrison Matthews came out and he lit it up? Him, Mahimi.
What? You said who?
Garrison Matthews.
No, the other one. You said Mahimi.
The one game that he had, it was like a.
He was gone.
No, I know y'all don't like Mahimi. Mahimi had like one really good game.
Oh, when he was hitting threes?
It was against the Heat.
I know you're talking about.
It was against the Heat. Garrison Matthews, Mahimi, Ish Smith, they all play so well. They shared the basketball, and that's what this team doesn't always do. They overly rely on Brad, but that's coaching though, man. Mm-hmm. That's Brooks. That's what Brooks does.
We already know that, man. Brooks is a whole different animal. All right, so I've asked the question about John Wall postseason. My man Brian Johnson on Facebook posted, no, don't want to risk re-injuring at all. Dwayne Wallace said, why not? George posted, no, why jeopardize his recovery to try and win one game against the all-conquering Bucks?
What do you think about the trades they just made? I'm glad that
get Shabazz?
Well, of course.
They got Shabazz, Napier?
Yeah, you ain't seen him?
They got Shabazz Napier.
Dang, dude, you really? He's on the court right now. You ain't really been watching.
All light skin folks look alike.
Come on, bro.
But Shabazz, you like that. I like Shabazz.
Yeah, but Jordan McRae actually is somebody who.
I know they traded him away.
They had to because they said he was going to walk in free agency, but at least you need to get some type of value for him. The Nuggets just basically, they took you for that, man.
Dang, because he scored, I mean,
he's having 13 points a game.
Anytime you score close to 40 points in a game, that means you can score the basketball.
He's a flat out scorer. In the G League, he was scoring like 40.
Not giving credit, like.
I'm just saying, like why not get a little bit more in return for him?
This game I was at, he was scoring almost like 40. I forgot what game that was, but dude was putting in work. Like,
he's a
step back.
He's a scorer.
He aggressive. He goes to the basket, he gets fouled. You know what I mean? He's a scorer. Like, he's a real legit scorer.
Defensively, though, he was a liability.
Yeah, he's a liability. Yeah. But, you know, it's a win for the Nuggets. That's more offense off the
exactly.
bench.
Exactly. It's crazy. You know, I said, they just helped them as opposed to helping themselves. At least get a pick or something for them.
I mean, they should be happy Isaiah's gone. Like, Isaiah being gone is good for the team.
Isaiah Thomas. I like him. He's a little delusional.
I feel bad for Isaiah.
He just physically spent. That's what it is.
I mean, it seems like he's done. But the NBA trade deadline has passed. We'll discuss some of the trades after the break. Listen to Urban Sports saying.
For ages. Deuces.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene, myself, Ole, Will T, and Ray Jay-Z. The NBA trade deadline passed last week. Which deals were you a fan of?
Marcus Morris going to the Clippers.
That's a good one.
I wouldn't even call myself a fan. Can I talk?
My bad, bro.
No, I'm just saying. That's like the third time.
My bad, bro.
No, I'm a fan of that. I'm a fan of that move. Also, I'm a fan of the I like what Miami was trying to do with the Iguodala trade. I don't agree with giving him an extra year and $15 million, but I understand what they're trying to do. They're saying, hey, we're at a spot where we think we can make a deep run in the Eastern Conference playoffs, and let's try to add one more playmaker slash wing defender.
Nah, that was just for championship experience. We know that the Heat are going to make a run in the East because it's the East. You see what they're doing now already.
Yes.
Now, bigger than that, the Warriors got Andrew Wiggins building for the future.
Yeah.
When have you seen somebody that athletic play alongside, you know, Clay and Steph? I was about to say Stan Clef.
Harrison Barnes was like athletic. I would say
not like Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, though. I know he had Andrew Wiggins.
So I feel like that's the most intriguing moving forward. Now for this season, Clippers were already my front runner to win the finals.
Uh-huh.
And now Marcus Morris, it just solidifies that barring injury, they're probably going to be there.
I think they're like they're stout. I'm not going to lie. Like that was a good one. That was a big one. A big acquisition.
That's a good one. Exactly.
Also, I mean, I ain't gonna lie, I think it's a better duo with Towns for the future. Towns and
D'Lo.
I think it's better though, bro.
They are not gonna stop.
I think they're more efficient offensively. I think they'll be more efficient.
So here's the one head scratching trade for me. Trading Drummond from Detroit to Cleveland.
Why Cleveland?
I didn't understand that package. I understand that, you know, if you're Detroit, you pretty much know that Drummond is going to walk after mm-hmm. this year, so you want to get something. But to get what you got back for him, it makes absolutely no sense. I think they got like 2 twos, John Henson.
They did get John Henson. I remember that.
It wasn't anything special, to be honest.
Yeah, it was nothing that you like. That's Andre Drummond, an all-star center.
I mean, I know. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You like Andre Drummond?
You don't think that? You don't
do
think
I
that,
like him as a real as a player?
Think he's overrated?
Yeah, I think he's overrated. Uh-huh. But he's still a double double. I think he's overrated, but he's a double double.
He's a double double, and he could defend the post and defend the rim.
Yeah, I would have went and got Julius Randle before I got him, to be real. And Julius Randle, smaller.
Is better. I think Julius Randle is a more skilled basketball player. But Drummond is, you know, defensively. I mean, he's a prototypical big. Not today's big, but he's a prototypical big.
Another thing I didn't understand: if you're the Knicks.
Dennis Smith?
No, not even Dennis Smith. But here's the thing, though, right? You got rid of Morris. Yeah. You got a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. But there's so many other contracts that are on that team that are head-scratching that don't fit into what you're trying to do long-term.
Bobby Portis.
Who's the other guy? Taj Gibson.
Taj Gibson. Mm-hmm.
You know, those two guys specifically. And then you even had to, if you're the Knicks, why not look at possibly getting rid of Julius Randle, because obviously
just said that.
Huh?
No, I just said that. Great, my bad.
Yeah, but you know, Mitchell Robinson, he looks like he could be a guy that you could build something
with. They're messing with that kid.
Yeah, man. I don't know why they're not giving
the Knicks, as you saw, did y'all see the article today that Forbes, you know, again said that
almost $5 billion.
Yeah. They're still the most profitable NBA franchise, right?
Feels, right?
Yeah.
Now, next year, again, that's what the Knicks are planning for, because they haven't had a winning season in how long? Big Baller Brand is coming to New York. That's what it looks like. I'm telling you. And if you want to continue to increase the value of your team, that's the right move. LaMelo Ball is going to create buzz, bigger buzz than anybody else that's coming out in this draft.
Oh, yeah. Him in New York, that would be...
I mean, I would love to see Cole Anthony following his dad's footsteps.
Cole Anthony
but,
like that, man.
And he's from New York. But again, as far as upside goes, as far as star potential, as far as like a media circus, as far as revenue, getting fans in the stands, Melo's the best.
Melo got more upside in terms of a baller than Cole Anthony?
No, I'm talking about from a financial standpoint.
Oh, you talk about marketing. You talk about the
marketing standpoint. Yeah,
everything. Yeah, you're right. No, you're right.
But LaMelo Ball, I don't know. It's tough to say. LaMelo Ball is how tall? 6'7"?
Yeah, I think he's like
his brother.
He can handle the rock. He can shoot. He can defend. If he gets the work ethic down, if you get the right coach with him, I don't know where New York's going forward. I feel like he could possibly he could possibly have more longevity than Cole Anthony. Cole Anthony's just a flat out scorer.
Baller, man, he's skilled.
But that's the thing, though. You said you added the right caveat to it. Right coach. Yeah. I'd add right franchise.
Yeah, right franchise. That's like the most important thing in any NBA. Any young player who wants to play in the league, it's the right franchise, man. Getting drafted by the right team.
Oh, of course.
Who can groom that talent. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We've seen so many talented ballers. They became journeymen because they went to the wrong team. You put them on a different team, then that thing, it changes everything. So, I'm with you. I think whoever drafts, hopefully these kids get drafted by the right organization.
You can't turn to a former player if you're the Knicks, to me. I mean, they tried that too many times. It just hasn't worked. But one name that is intriguing is J. Kidd. I think he gets an opportunity after this year with the Lakers, depending on what happens with their season. Because many felt as though he was just evolving as a head coach. He didn't get the opportunity to really grow because he was still learning. Paul Pierce was like, he didn't know what to do when he first became a head coach because he was just retired. Uh-huh. And just because he was a good floor general, it did not turn him to a good X and O's guys. However, he learned the Bucks helped turn the Bucks into what they are now.
He got Brooklyn went to the postseason with them.
Of course, he had a veteran group.
I know that's true. And also, I mean, he's the reason why Giannis is running point forward. Without him,
exactly. He was evolving.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. And now again, he's getting even more experience with arguably one of the greatest players of all time. Mm-hmm. It's not arguably, he is one of the greatest players of all time, LeBron James. But I mean the GOAT, but I think that would be something that could be intriguing, especially if you're going to build your team around a point guard like a Cole Anthony or LaMelo Ball. Why not bring in somebody who did it so good for so many years in that area?
George's tweet, he was like, I am not sure there's any player, even James Wiseman, that can thrive with the Knicks.
You know what? It's tough. I mean, right now,
RJ Barrett, I like how he's taking it. You know, he's taking that challenge. I like how he's taking that challenge. He's trying to be that guy that can kind of flourish on that team. He's trying to.
I'm not going to say that isn't any. It takes a special player.
It does.
Because we've seen what's been the Knicks over the past 20 years.
You know what I mean?
It
depends on how you construct your roster. Right now, they're looking for a president and they're looking for a coach.
Mm-hmm.
So it all depends on the selections they make. They're going to have to make some good basketball decisions. But you hear your Jerry might be going to New York again.
I heard about that.
If he makes that move, then I think you can build a good roster and hopefully you can help out a young player who's coming into the league to build the right team around him versus just having a one-man show. That's what Zion would have been this year, a one-man show.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, he got hurt. Now, would the Knicks have been as patient as the Pelicans have been with him?
I don't know. I mean, if Masai goes to New York, he bring a bunch of Africans with him.
You saw Giannis drafted in the All-Star game draft. He was like, my other African brother, Joel Embiid, he drafted all Africans to start. Pascal Siakam.
Stay away from that conversation. Hey.
And did you see Siakam as an All-Star?
Siakam.
Just telling you. And Bam.
Yeah, he's Nigerian. Bam is Nigerian. He's Nigerian.
I'm trying to tell y'all, man.
Bam's Nigerian.
Y'all gonna start listening to me, but it's all good. All right, I don't brag when I'm right.
WBC featherweight champ Gary Russell successively defended his title. Is he ready to move up? We'll discuss this after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Saint.
The agent. Deuces.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Ole, Ray, Jeezy, and Will T. Saturday night in Allentown, Pennsylvania, WBC featherweight champ Gary Russell Jr. defeated King Tut. See, I'm not going to say the name, right? King Tut. in a unanimous decision. Thoughts?
I'm in the barbershop on Thursday, and I'm like, man, who in the world is going to go to Allentown, PA to see a fight? You know, somebody quickly said, come on, man. You know, PA ain't that far. But it was Mongolia that was deep in that joint.
Deep in that joint.
It wasn't even the DMV that was representing in like the next state over. It was daggone Mongolia. And even when he was clearly losing the fight, they were still like hyping him.
Every punch.
They were hyping him.
I mean, listen, I think that I didn't expect that many. I didn't know if Pennsylvania had a huge Mongolian population.
I didn't know that either.
Of course.
Or did they just travel to there?
I think they must have traveled
to support them.
They probably traveled
because, like, even like when Manny Pacquiao was in the beginning of his like his heyday, like the folks in like they would travel. The Filipinos would travel like crazy. Like he would have his little Filipino mom.
I think it's dope. I think it is.
I mean, if you tut, then you. I think you won. Like, even though you lost the actual fight, but you won because, A, you put up a semi-competitive fight against one of the more talented boxers in the world. Great. And then you also proved that you have a fan base that follows you.
Yeah, if you give them reason to.
If you give them reason to. So I don't think, you know, of course you lost the fight, and that's a tough takeaway from it, but looking on the bright side, you definitely are going to get another opportunity for another high-level world championship fight.
Yeah. It's almost like JoJo Diaz.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he showcased against...
Tevin Farmer.
Well, he beat Tevin, but I'm talking about like when he showcased against Gary. Yeah, seriously. It was like the same thing.
Going back to that fight, to me, even though JoJo put up a good fight, Gary never seemed to be as fatigued as he was in this fight.
Agreed.
And it's funny, you text... First, you send the text. Gary looks. I think Gary might be tired because you so like biased. You don't want to say nothing bad. Will T was definitive. Like, look, he's tired. His mouth is open.
Yeah, he said. Yeah.
And then on the broadcast, you heard his father say, "Me and God know you're tired, Gary, but the world don't need to know it." Like he basically was showing it, and that's the first time we've seen him kind of tire out. Now, again, if you're facing somebody who's more dangerous, you're going to have to be. I guess a little bit better conditioning, which is hard to say because Gary stays in top shape. But
just gonna be more active in terms of the fight game, right?
That's what it's gonna be. Even if you don't get the necessarily the fight you want,
you just have but to take something else,
again, he did allude to Gary. I'm speaking of. He alluded to the fact that I still get a chance to preserve my body, which you know in the boxing game you can be done quickly. So I kind of like fighting once a year, but. And if you really want to move up in weight, if you're talking about jumping two weight classes, then I think you're going to have to definitely, you're going to have to fight more than once a year. Also, Gary was trying to say that, you know, I walk around at 135, which could be true, but is your power going to be increased?
Will it translate
at 135? That's what I'm a little bit concerned about because Lomachenko had the power to go to move up. Even to me, Tank does. And Gary said that very frankly. He said Tank is too powerful for some of these guys like Tevin Farmer and others. Yeah. So he recognizes it. It's just that he's lobbying for the big fight right now. And for whatever reason, he's not having much success.
Go ahead, bro. I'm not gonna say can you imagine, but if we get a Gervonta Davis and Gary Russell Jr. fight in this region, it'd be a sellout. That's a fight that could possibly sell out Capital One Arena.
Absolutely. Tank don't be messing up.
Again, even if Tank had a clean, you know, record off the, I mean, outside of the ring, I still don't think Floyd makes that fight for him.
No, I don't think so.
Not at this time.
I definitely don't think he makes that fight for him at this time. It would take for Floyd and, you know, the money team or all of his advisors to really think that Gary Russell Jr. has really lost it. But if you've seen Gary Russell Jr.'s last five fights over the past 5 years, you know that he really hasn't lost it. It's just that he's preserved himself and he hasn't found that big name opponent to fight.
I agree. I think, and also I think he put himself in line to fight a second time this year though, right? Like he's in line.
Yeah, I mean, listen, realistically, if, you know, Leo Santa Cruz wanted, you know, the fight that he wants is Gervonta Tank Davis. for those of us who follow, I don't follow social media, but mm-hmm. for people who saw the footage of Gervonta Tank Davis and his girlfriend, and then, you know, the charges that, you know, he's been charged, I don't necessarily think we want to get a Leo Santa Cruz and Gervonta Tank Davis fight. So the fight we probably will get is Santa Cruz versus Gary Russell Jr.
Yeah, if now, they want to make it happen.
If they want to make it happen. Now, it depends on a couple things. Will Gary Russell Jr. have to go up two weight classes to fight Leo Santa Cruz, or will Santa Cruz come down to 126 or 130, you know?
Yeah, they're probably at 130. Oh, I think Gary made it seem like he's definitely moving up. After the fight, but that's just after the fight talk.
I mean, that's a fight that'll be a big fight, whether it's in L.A. or whether it's at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn or, you know, some other establishment along the East Coast.
Yeah, and if he wins that fight, then he's in line, if he wanted to, the fight Tank. I think obviously the Farmer fight, you know, there was a lot of talk about it, but, you know, since Farmer lost to Jojo Diaz, I don't know if it's a fight that he would probably want to take now.
Who is Shakur Stevenson's next fight again?
Josh Warrington, I believe.
Okay. Why can't Gary stay at 126 and fight the winner of that fight?
I don't think. Him versus Shakur Stevenson would be a very good fight, but Bob Arum isn't going to put him in the ring with Gary Russell Jr. at this point, because Gary Russell Jr. hasn't fallen off, and it's definitely a possible L for Shakur Stevenson. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the thing. Even Andre Ward said I think Russell's the most dangerous in division. I don't know if I would push a core up against him. But, I mean, he's going to have to move up. Right now, he feels like I know that he kind of predicted. I think he predicted on this show and in other interviews, Gary, I'm speaking of, that JoJo would defeat.
He said that he would defeat, he said that Farmer better not look past JoJo.
Right.
He was like.
That's what I'm saying. And I think that he saw that coming. And once Tevin Farmer lost, he's like, there's no reason to go to 130.
Yeah, there's no reason.
So then, you know, obviously you're looking at 135.
Yeah, I agree.
And right now, and from what I heard, Lomachenko was not interested in the second fight with him at this time. Yeah. He's looking at, you know, some other possible fights. I want to see.
That makes sense.
I want to see him fight Mikey Garcia. That's what I want.
Lomachenko.
Damn right, I want him. See, I want to see
him fight Gary. I mean, to be honest,
I don't want him. He don't need to fight Gary. He should be fighting Mikey. I mean, you gotta look at the fights that. I know it sounds jacked up, but it's just, let's be real. Like, Mikey's more money for Lomo, right? Like, for Loma. So why would you?
But this is the thing that, Mikey Garcia, I still believe is under the PBC umbrella. So unless there's a huge amount of money to be made, I don't think that's a fight.
You're right. I told you
I'm just being honest. If you're thinking about a possibly huge fight for Mikey Garcia, the one that rings the easiest one, or the one that could be made, is him versus Manny Pacquiao, and that would be a big fight.
It would be big. Yeah, definitely a big fight.
I don't know if based on this fight, depending on, again, what happens with Gary moving up, I don't know if his power translates to 135. That's my biggest concern for him. In this fight, to me, he just fought the smart fight.
Yeah, he fought a very smart fight.
He fought kind of like Floyd. You know, I'm not going to get hit much. I'm going to tap him, and I'm going to get the W, period.
It's funny. See, he fought a smarter fight.
Until the seventh
round. Yeah, of course.
And then when he wanted to come straight ahead and, you know, fight inside the phone booth and fight inside the pocket.
He started to get in touch a little bit.
It was
a smarter fight compared to what he did against JoJo. Remember we were talking about when he fought JoJo?
He fought JoJo. That whole fight he stayed in front of.
I know.
Again, I think that's because he was fighting at home, too. Mm-hmm. He was trying to get the fans what they wanted. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he showed he could fight that fight, which is what he said after. He said, I showed that I can fight. You know, I'm a dog. Mm-hmm. But to me, again, he didn't seem like he tired out as much as he did this past weekend, which is interesting. But I'm thinking that if he doesn't get the Santa Cruz fight, man, this might be it.
Yeah, because you need that fight. I'm with Will, though. That's the way he stated it. You know, Tank in his situation, you know, I don't think that Santa Cruz Tank fight's going to happen, you know, as soon as we all thought would happen. So that puts Gary right in line. Like, he's right there, you know what I mean, for Santa Cruz.
I would fight, if I can't get Santa Cruz, I would even fight Abner Mares. I know Abner Mares lost to Santa Cruz. Abner Mares, barring injury, was supposed to fight Tank. And obviously he had to pull out because he got hurt, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do, man. Sean Porter says it all the time. You know, you take the fights you can get and you work your way up. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Bottom line. And I know Gary is like, man, I need a signature fight. But Gary seems like he's very calculated.
Yeah.
Like, remember he was talking about signing with DAZN.
DAZN, yeah.
He was talking about signing with, what's his name? What is his name? Remind me.
Who?
Anthony Joshua's
Eddie Hearn.
Yeah. He said Eddie Hearn said, I'm a superstar and I need to be treated like that, so I'm gonna sign with him. But he's technically under PBC, but he's not under contract with them.
Yeah.
So but he has these mandatories. Like why hasn't he signed with somebody else yet? I think again I know that he's been ducked. I totally agree with him. But at the same time, he's making calculated decisions too about his future. And he knows that his brothers are gonna be on the come up, he's gonna be in the corner, he's still gonna make money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's good. And he gets paid pretty good for these title defenses.
Oh yeah.
So where he don't have to fight every year.
No. We'll see.
You don't have to fight more than once a year. But I mean, as a boxing fan, obviously everybody wants to see him more.
Yeah, everybody wants to see him fight more than once a year. I think that's the
overall
consensus.
And you want to see him because right now the jury, or the skeptic is saying, when you got the big fight against Lomachenko, which wasn't a big fight back then, but still, that was the best fight you fought so far. You lost. You need to prove you can beat some of the upper echelon fighters as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but some would say he's probably up there as one of the upper echelon fighters in the game of boxing. But only time will tell. All right, man. Great show, folks. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Anything you want to say, Will?
Ladies, if you're lonely, just replay this Urban Sports Scene edition on the 14th. I'll keep you company.
All right, man. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie. Thank you.